Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live, on this first weekday of the best time of the year, which is called Daylight Savings Time. Very happy to have you back with us. This time, this hour, Rylene Simpson with us, as promised. Rylene Simpson, you probably know her from the movie Desire of the Everlasting Hills. If you haven't seen the movie Desire of the Everlasting Hills, I highly recommend it to you. Rylene also doing lots of work with, now, Encourage, right? The work you do is with Encourage or Courage.
Yes. It's in Encourage, the groups for parents, friends, and family.
Well, welcome, Rylene.
Thank you so much. Good to be here.
It's always good to have you. The number, by the way, is 888-318-7884. If you have a question about the Catholic take on sexuality in general, or particularly on same-sex attraction, you're very, very welcome to call. If you if this is an issue in your life or life of a loved one and you need some help figuring out how you're what your best response is, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Rylene, those who don't know the film Desire of the Everlasting Hills should check it out. But do you have a website of your own as well? Do you have somewhere where we send people for you?
I don't. Oh, no.
That's so smart of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those things take a lot to maintain. You have no idea.
Yeah.
I started a blog once, and then I had all these ideas for things to write about, and it takes a lot of work to write that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. That's the way I feel about social media even. Like I do one social media where I respond to people, and that's Twitter, and I respond about every 2 weeks. And I know it annoys people, but I just can't do it. I can't keep up with it.
Although you seem to be a little interactive with the people on Facebook.
Oh, during the show, you mean?
Yes, yeah.
Only if they're making fun of my shirt. Did you happen to see the last hour? They're all picking on my shirt.
Of course, yeah, sure.
Oh, that's funny. But I don't think that they meant it. I don't think that they meant the horrible things they were saying about my shirt. But maybe they did. It seemed like affectionate teasing to me.
It's affectionate, I'm sure. Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about Encourage then, because we have talked about Courage before, but Encourage, how do you get involved in that? What will you encounter when you go to Encourage?
So the idea of Encourage is it is a support group, really, like all the other support groups out there, except that it's for the parents and friends, family members of people who have same-sex attraction and are actively participating in the gay life. So obviously people who have a strong faith are concerned about their loved ones, and this is a way to support those people and help them to make sure that the connection with their loved ones isn't broken, despite the fact of their their belief in God's plan for human sexuality, and to just help them navigate the day-to-day interactions that we have to encounter just all around the whole area of homosexuality, being gay is an identity, the tactical kind of things like coming home from college with your boyfriend and how are you going to receive your son and his friend, your daughter and her friend, how to keep that connection, how to welcome the loved one, all of those kind of issues that are practical, also spiritual aspects of the relationship and prayer for each other, and it's support in every possible way we can.
And are there online versions of it as well, or is it always in person?
So, of course, until this month, nothing has been in person for anybody, I don't think.
Oh, but, yeah. Okay.
Lately. Yeah. But so we have our local group has in-person sessions, and but we shifted to online for the duration of COVID. Well, hopefully next month, maybe even we'll be able to go back to normal and meet in person. But I do think, honestly, this is, you caught me out. I don't know the answer to this. There are definitely Courage meetings that are online.
I see. Okay.
And I don't know if there's a, but I actually don't know if there's a, I'll look it up maybe at the break and see if there are online groups for the Encourage group.
888-318-7884. No, that's fine. That's all right. All the lines full except for one line. So I'm starting to feel like we should probably go to the phones in any case, even though I had one other question for you. I'm going to hold it because lots of people want to talk with me. Yeah, I'll save it. Right. Let's go to Tom in Omaha, Nebraska, listening on KVSS. That's Spirit Catholic Radio in Omaha. Tom, thank you for your call. Go ahead with your question.
Thank you for taking my question. I appreciate it. I have listened to Catholic Answers Live since practically your first program, but I've listened to 90% of them. And I've noticed one thing. Whenever a heterosexual couple, married couple, call and they say, well, we're having vocational crisis, either sexual or otherwise, the response, they give them a good, you give them a good response. And then typically then they'll say, well, we're all going to be praying for you. And you have a cross. And so on. And that's good. That's all great. That's wonderful. But I have noticed, though, that whenever it's a homosexual calling with the same kind of vocational crisis and sexual crisis and all the rest of it, rarely or ever do I hear them say, well, we're all going to pray for you. You're beautiful in God's sight. You're doing a wonderful thing in the church, in the mystical body, and you have an extremely heavy cross to bear, and so on and so forth. There's an animus on the part of Catholic Answers Live, in my opinion, from observation.
Okay.
Why is that, and what can you do about it? I mean, can you... Go ahead and answer.
Okay. And I'm happy to make it a conversation, and maybe Rylene could help me in this conversation as well. As for me personally, I was not aware of that, Tom, but all I can say is I will be more aware of it in the future. I didn't realize that I had responded to people differently, but I don't doubt you at all. I mean, that's often these things we're blind to them until somebody points it out. So I can say I don't feel any animus. I will say this, however, and maybe Rylene could help me with this. I do feel like it's a more difficult situation to deal with on the radio as a Catholic radio host because it's a morally different situation. And what the church teaches as far as love and sexuality is actually subtle and requires some time. It's not a simple answer. So I try to be maybe aware that there are different levels to it. But I'm very sorry for it. I didn't realize that I was less amenable to people who call, people with same-sex attraction than heterosexual people. So Tom, do you want to respond to that? And then I'll let Rylene help me out here.
Yeah, first of all, I'm not directing that to you specifically or only. This
okay.
has gone on for years.
It's an us thing.
But as I said, the thing is that they're never told when a homosexual calls, they're never told you have a terrible heavy cross.
Yeah.
You have a terrible cross. And that doesn't have to be drawn out or over any time or anything. And also that we all pray for you, and that if we're good Catholics, we love you, we will pray for you. I don't hear that for homosexuals. I do hear it, though, whenever it's a heterosexual problem. Oh, they can't say enough to them.
Okay, Tom, I all I can say is I'm very much taking your words to heart, and I thank you for them. But and Rylene, did you want to get in on the conversation, or...
Yeah, thank you. So thanks for your call, Tom. And I also think that it's, good feedback. I've only been on the program a couple times, but I do think that for my part, I agree with what Cy said about it being such a sensitive topic. And I know that when I'm on the show, and again, because it's live, I don't want to say I'm nervous, but I do try to pick my words very carefully because it is a sensitive topic and people do feel hurt by the church. And so I feel like I spend a lot of time like picking out the right words and hesitating and trying to think through. And so maybe we do neglect those basic Christian offerings that ordinarily we would do. So I apologize if I have ever done that, and I think, you know, I've made a note of it, and I'm going to be aware of it. And I don't know your situation, but we'll pray for you. How's that?
How is that, Tom?
Well, that's great, but again, it's just you repeating each other and saying, I mean, I don't see what's so hard or so overwhelming. You got to think so much about it and everything to say to someone, you have a heavy cross. We recognize this, but you're our brother, or you're in the mystical body with us. I mean, you don't need to think about that.
No.
You don't need to dwell on that to come up with it. When it's heterosexual people, you sure don't think it over. It just flows out, and that's great. That's the way it ought to be.
Okay. I see that. I mean, I feel like I'm just trying to be honest with you, Tom, about like what happens when you're on the air, especially when you're dealing with sensitive moral subjects where there's moms and dads in the car with kids. And, you know, and as a matter of fact, I'll tell you the truth on pretty much everything we do. I'm always thinking about the moms and dads in cars with kids. So, I mean, and it is a morally fraught topic. I mean, I don't think that that's controversial to say that. It's a morally fraught topic, but the love of God is for everybody. And certainly there are, you know, just thousands and thousands and thousands of our brothers and sisters who are going through same-sex attraction, dealing with it in different ways and on different levels. And I will try to be more hospitable, Tom. I really do appreciate you pointing that out. I wouldn't have thought that was the case if you had not told me.
Okay.
All right. Well, thanks. So I'm going to take a quick break. Right back. Rylene Simpson is our guest, and we will. If you have any kind of question about same-sex attraction, what the Catholic Church's teaching is on these things, where to find help for yourself or for a relative, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884. Right back with more with Rylene Simpson.
There's only one Catholic Answers Live.
The Aquinas Writing Advantage Program is part of Homeschool Connections' set of online courses for your Catholic homeschool. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
He is honored by the Church as one of the greatest enemies of clergy sexual abuse.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
In his time, St. Peter Damian fought against the many vices of contemporary clergy, especially sexual abuses among the clergy. In 1051, he wrote the Book of Gomorrah that is still considered essential reading for fighting abuse today. He died in 1072.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. One of our favorite people. And when I say our, anytime I say our on this program, I mean my. Here at Catholic Answers, Rylene Simpson. We're one of the stars of the movie, Desire of the Everlasting Hills, and here to talk with us about same-sex attraction. And your questions are welcome. And you know what? Tom's challenge to us is perfectly welcome as well. And if that's something, if you've had that experience with the Catholic Church or with our work here, you're perfectly welcome to call, and we'll have a conversation about it. And I hope we'll be honest with one another about what's going on inside of us. But again, I do appreciate Tom's call, and you and. Often, Rylene, when we do these shows about same-sex attraction, it is the relatives who call, not necessarily folks who are living with same-sex attraction. But we do want people to feel welcome.
True. Right. Absolutely.
All right. Let's go to Chris in Iowa. Also listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. Chris, glad to have you. Go ahead with your question for Rylene Simpson.
Yes. Thank you. I was calling because of a child of mine with the same-sex attraction. And I'm wondering how to support her while still letting her know that my position with regard to the Catholic faith, which she was brought up in, and I want to make sure I use the right word, make sure that she knows that I love her. She's always included in the family. Her children are always included. But right now, the other person that she has in her life might not be a good fit right at this time, because it is a very new relationship.
Yeah, okay. Well, thank you, Chris, for your call. Really appreciate that. I think it sounds to me like you've been in this situation for quite some time, just judging from what you said about the history and including the kids and so on. So my guess is that you have already told her what your beliefs are and how you interpret God's plan for human sexuality, right?
Correct.
And
yeah. Okay.
Right. Okay. Yes. And so I don't see inside of a relationship like that. That's a loving relationship. You're in contact with her. You're having her and the kids over. There seems to be some turnover in her relationships. So being cautious about that is perfectly reasonable, right? But there's no need to beat the issue to death. She knows where you stand. And so in order to just keep the relationship going, there's no need to repeat it over and over again. You know, I think you're probably doing the exact right thing, is just keep engaged with her. She knows you love her. You tell her you love her. You love the kids. And I think that you're probably doing the right thing already. And are probably a model for other people. And I would encourage you to connect with a local Encourage group if there is one, because other people might be able to learn from your experience.
Well, it still feels very new to me, even though it has been, you know, kind of a tumultuous time. So the Encourage group is what you would say to look toward.
I would find a local Encourage group if there is one. If not, you know, you can contact me. Actually, you can contact me through the CourageRC.org website, or maybe Catholic Answers would be so kind as to get your contact information if you're interested in talking to me directly. Yeah, I think it would be a good idea just for you to have people to bounce off situations and to hear what other people are doing, and to really, you know, have that network of people to support you that you can count on for their wisdom.
Raylene, is it odd, as, you know, my age is nearly 60, and her younger siblings all seem very comfortable and fine with this, and sometimes I feel like, okay, then maybe the problem lies with me, and that I don't really believe that.
But we do question ourselves, absolutely. It's very easy. Once the whole world seems to be looking at you and saying you're the one who's wrong, it's very easy to start questioning your own logic and sensibilities. So it's not surprising that you're experiencing that. And, you know, the all of the media, movies, television programs, all the news, everything is really geared towards making this more and more normalized. And so the generation that's younger than ours, I'm the same generation as you roughly, they've been exposed to a lot more of this than we have. And it does seem normal to them. And it does seem that you're the one who's out of touch with reality. But we know what reality is, Chris. You and I, we understand what reality is. And we know how God designed human beings. And so we're not the ones who are wrong, but we are out of sync with the culture. And that's probably the tension that you're feeling.
Does that make sense, Chris?
Okay. Yes, thank you very much.
Well, thank you. If you do want to give us a contact, and we'll give it to Rylene, just hang on the line and Edgar will get your information. I'm going to move on. Thanks very much, Chris.
I guess we should say, be assured that we're praying for you and your situation.
God bless you, Rylene.
We're praying for everybody on the show.
So thank you.
We're going to do that to death today so that we cover it.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. I'm so glad that you said that. See, it'll take me a moment to, I don't know, I just got to get up to speed here. Russell in San Marcos, Texas, watching on Twitch. I don't even know what that is, but it's cool that you're watching on it. Russell, go ahead with your question for Rylene.
Hi, Rylene. Russell here. I got a question for you about the current, it seems, in American Catholics now, over on a Pew Research recently, they're showing that over 50% of American Catholics are becoming more secularized and inoculating themselves from Romans, from the Roman Catholic edicts on the LGBT issue. Where over 50% of American Catholics are pro-LGBT for equal rights on everything across the board. And it seems that they're disavowing themselves from taking Roman edicts seriously in any way on this issue. Why do you think that trend is going on?
Okay, yes. Thank you for your question. So I think that in our church, we could say this about almost any topic that you can bring up, is that we have done over the last 40, 50 years, a very poor job of catechizing our people. And while I think that John Paul II, St. Pope John Paul II, did a magnificent job in explaining the human person in his Theology of the Body writings, it really hasn't reached the teachings haven't reached a kind of that critical point that they need to get to in order to have a common understanding. And frankly, I grew up in the 60s and 70s, and what I was told about sex was so minimal, and it had no connection to the reasons why certain things are prohibited and other behaviors are not, and why you had to be married, and why, you know, none of that had any reasoning given to me behind why that was. It was just, this is the list, right? This is the list of things you can and cannot do. And the why was answered with because God said so, or because the church says so. So I think that there's a real, there's a gap between the teachings and the propagation of those teachings to the faithful, and I think that's true. You know, we were just, you know, the synod on synodality. We just had a parish group get together about that, and the lack of understanding about all kinds of Catholic teachings around the table was quite astounding, from the fact that why do we fast for an hour before communion? I mean, that was a question that came up in our group. And so there's just this wide gap. There's this wide gap of understanding. But the interesting thing to me is that the church really has the fullness of, I mean, it's the most complete understanding of a human person that you can imagine if you actually delve into our church's teachings and into the theology of the body. And if we could get just the people who are listening to this right now, if they could dig in, read it, understand it, and start talking about it, I think we'd make a lot of progress.
Russell, thanks very much. I hope that was helpful to you. Thank you very much for the question. Are you going to say a prayer, Rylene, or?
Yeah, I think we'll pray for you and your situation, Russell. We're not making fun of Tom. We're alert.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. That's exactly right. But Russell, thanks. I appreciate that. Let's go to Luke in Tri-Cities, Washington, listening on 100.7 FM. Luke, thanks very much for your call. Go ahead with your question for Rylene Simpson.
Hey, guys, I appreciate this. I just had a comment real quick. You know, not to diminish what Tom said or anything, I can't speak to his experience, but I do feel like the nature of his question just sort of assumed something was true. And I'm going to speak to my experience. I've been listening for the last few years, and I think that the people that you guys have on the show, by and large, do a very good job of being compassionate and understanding when they're asked a lot of hard, sensitive questions. Frequently.
Oh, that's thank you.
I think you guys do a wonderful job.
I appreciate that affirmation.
I'm not sure what. Yeah, no worries. But you guys really do. It's not an easy thing that you guys are doing. And you guys, I think, handle it with a lot of grace and a lot of compassion. No one's perfect, but I think you guys do a great job.
Well, thank you. Would you include Trent Horn in that?
Or would... You know, I've noticed something. You really have a thing for Trent Horn. What's the deal? Is he just is he the punching bag?
It's only a joke. It's just because Trent used to kill me all the time. And in his philosophical examples, he'd say, is it ethical to do this or that to Cy Kellett? And so then I started that. And that's all it is. But you were going to say something else.
Well done turning the tables. I do have a question on this issue. I've heard some mixed things about this, and I just want clarification. When it comes to people who are going to join the seminary, because there's all this scandal about priests and everything, but if you have a priest who has same-sex attraction, or someone going in seminary, is same-sex attraction a disqualifier from going into the seminary? Or if they're, because I mean, what if they're going to live chastely?
Okay. I'll tell you what, Luke, it's a cliffhanger because we got the music playing. We'll have to get to it when we come back right after this. We're talking with Rylene Simpson. Your call's welcome. 888-31-TRUTH.
This is Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione of San Francisco. Thank you for listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
Have you enrolled in the Catholic Answers School of Apologetics? Let me ask you a more important question. Do you believe as a Catholic that you have an obligation to share the Catholic faith? In fact, the Church has answered this question, and the answer is that all confirmed Catholics are obliged to share the faith. It's actually in canon law. Catholic Answers is here to help you fulfill that obligation. Our School of Apologetics courses will equip you to help all the people you come in contact with understand what the Church teaches and why. A great place to start is with all the Catholics in your life. Learn the art of apologetics from the best of the best and start sharing the gospel today. Visit schoolofapologetics.com. That's schoolofapologetics.com.
Most of us Catholic parents agree our number one goal in life is to pass on the faith to our children. But here's the bad news. Today's world has a million ways to steal your kid's soul. Don't be afraid, says Father Sebastian Walsh. God loves your children even more than you do, and he desires their salvation more than anything. In his groundbreaking new book, Always a Catholic, Father Walsh shows you how to cooperate with God to bring about the fulfillment of his will for your kids. Always a Catholic reminds us that keeping our kids in the faith is about the way we live our Catholicism in our own lives and as a family from day to day. Order your copy of Always a Catholic by visiting shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
God is always ready to receive your urgent prayer intentions.
Join us with yours tomorrow on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on most of these EWTN stations.
Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. Luke is on the line. We'll get to Luke's question. I just want to remind you that our guest this hour is Rylene Simpson. We're talking about the Catholic Church and same-sex attraction, Catholic faith and same-sex attraction. If this is something that has affected your life, you'd like some help with, you'd like some direction with, even if you would like to be critical of the Church's position and engage in that conversation, you're very welcome here. 888-318-7884. Luke is in the Tri-Cities in Washington, and he wants to know about, well, what about a man who might want to go to the seminary to become a priest, but has attractions to people of the same sex. So is that a disqualifier or what?
And over the break, I was trying to look up the actual document and I didn't get it fingertips quickly enough. You did? Okay.
Yeah. Concerning the criteria for the discernment of vocations with persons with homosexual tendencies in view of their admission to the seminary and to holy orders, 2005. How do you like that title?
That is a succinct.
It's very Victorian.
Not really, title.
But there it is.
There is a document. So that is the document that goes into detail about the admission of men to the seminary. I think there are a couple of things to think about for a man discerning. Somewhere in that document is language. I don't know if it uses the word deep-seated or intractable or something like that. But so if it's but there's language in there that kind of states the criteria that says if it's a situation that's kind of unmoving and kind of at a deep level, then they're probably not candidates. Again, this actually would be one of those situations if a person felt he had a vocation that would be seen as definitely a cross. But I think the thing to keep in mind is all of us are called as Catholics to avoid the near occasion of sin. And if a man who wants to enter the seminary is has same-sex attraction, it would be even more of a burden for him than most people, because he's going to be surrounded by other men in an all-male environment. I think that it would be maybe unwise to put yourself in that situation, even if you didn't have the, even if this was not this deep-seated and intractable kind of situation. I wish I had the right words out of the document. Sorry. But I think that it maybe wouldn't be the advisable just from that particular spiritual sense that you would be surrounding yourself with potential temptation. And we all have an obligation when we recognize that we have a weakness toward a particular sin that we have to avoid those near occasions. So from a spiritual perspective, I think it would be inadvisable. And then the document itself goes into the rest of the criteria.
Okay, Luke?
Okay, no, that's, and what was the name of that document again?
I will tell you, it's a long one. Let me just bring it up here in front of me. Okay, it's called Instruction Concerning the Criteria for the Discernment of Vocations with Regard to Persons with Homosexual Tendencies in View of Their Admission to the Seminary and to Holy Orders. And it came out in 2005 from the Congregation for Catholic Education. So I hope that's helpful.
Sure, absolutely. Thank you very much.
I'm sorry we don't have anything with a longer title to recommend to you, but we do the best
maybe
we can.
Next time.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah. Thanks, Luke. I appreciate the call. Let's go to Trish in Durwood, Maryland, listening to EWTN on Channel 130, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Trish, thank you for the call. I didn't know there was a Durwood, Maryland. For some reason, that makes me think of Bewitched.
Oh, no, not at all. Thank you for taking my call.
Wait a second. Hang on. Do you know why it makes me think of Bewitched? If it's all right, it's because...
That was the name of her husband.
No, Darren was her name, but her mother, Andorra, didn't like Darren, and so she called him Durwood. That was her nickname for him. And so I apologize for that completely pointless discursus. Go ahead with your question for Rylene.
Thank you. And thank you, Rylene. My question is this. I heard a theologian in the Catholic Church say or suggest that same-sex attraction may be malleable. And I wonder what your thoughts are on that. And if there is some thinking that that is true, are there therapies or spiritual guides to help people move in a direction toward a more heterosexual way of life and relationships that are heterosexual?
So I have personal experience in this area, which I will call upon. And so this is my experience and the experience of quite a number of people that I know. So I would say it is positively true that the condition or the situation of same-sex attraction is malleable, although the culture wants to believe that it's not, that it's fixed, and that it can't be changed. But my experience is that I no longer feel attracted to women. I know a number of men and women both who have found opposite sex husbands and wives and are living that vocation of marriage out, and quite happily. It doesn't necessarily mean that they might not have thoughts that involve same-sex attraction or temptations, but that they find a healthy way to relate to the opposite sex, which is really the more important thing. I'm not sure that I'm not aware of any Catholic program that brings that about. It's not a focus, for instance, of the Courage Group. The Courage Group is more about chastity and living your life out to the fullest, having same-sex friendships that are chaste and things like that. So it's not a focus for the Catholic community, but there are certainly therapists out there, and you can kind of Google them. But there are therapists out there who have had success in this area. And honestly, a lot of times it has to do with cleaning up other anxieties that are just seem peripheral to the same-sex attraction dilemma, but are not, not specifically, how do I want to say this? They're not sexual in nature, but other anxieties and other conditions and thought patterns can lead to this as well. So it's definitely, in my opinion, it's definitely malleable. I've seen lots of evidence of it. And if nothing else, we certainly know that people can live chastely, which is our number one call first. But I think also maybe the way you're thinking, Trish, is the way I think, that we do have to become more and more healthy. And I think having healthy opposite sex relationships is an indicator of our own health as well, so it's possible for sure.
What do you think, Trish?
I'm so happy to hear you say that, because I was hoping that was the case, and I thought it might be the case. But I don't think that the church or society ever suggests that that's a possibility for people who are carrying a heavy burden and may be able to see things differently or at least develop in another direction that is healthier and happier. And I thank you so much for your response. That's very, very hopeful.
And, let's never forget prayer also. So God does anything he wants.
Thanks very much, Trish. I appreciate that. I appreciate that the two of you have this beautiful Christian conversation, and I started it all off with a completely inane reference to the TV show Bewitched. I feel like that's my role sometimes. Before we get into the mature Christianity, let me say the following dumb thing. Trish, I really do appreciate it. We got to take a quick break. Couple more folks on the line, but we have time for more callers if you would like to call. Talking about same-sex attraction today with our guest, Rylene Simpson. 888-318-7884 is the number. 888-318-7884. Store-wide sale going on right now at shop.catholic.com. 10 to 25% off everything. In some cases, more than that. Hundreds of great Catholic resources to choose from. And the School of Apologetics courses are 50% off through the end of March. All of them, every single one, 50% off at the School of Apologetics. You can find out about all of the savings and get $5 flat rate shipping on everything you buy over at shop.catholic.com.
It's all about the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
EWTN is everywhere. EWTN radio programming is provided free of charge to over 500 domestic and international AM and FM radio stations. It's a great teaching tool for Catholics and non-Catholics alike. For a complete list of EWTN AM and FM stations across America, visit EWTNradio.net. At the bottom of the page, click Affiliates. EWTN, the global Catholic network.
Do you want to end abortion, halt the attack on traditional marriage, and ensure religious freedom for ourselves and for our grandchildren? To do this, we must convert the culture. St. Paul's Street Evangelization is a grassroots initiative that recognizes this need and takes it to the streets. If you're interested in peacefully sharing the gospel in your area, visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Gave up sweets for Lent, and it's Pi Day. That is not right. Did you know that it's Pi Day, Rylene?
Oh, 3.141. Oh, gosh. I guess so.
She knew it. She went down to three digits. I only did two. Jimmy did four. 888-318-7884, the number. We're going to Joseph in Oklahoma now, listening on EWTN Radio. Joseph, we're happy and glad to have you. I can put those together. Go ahead, Joseph, with your question. He dropped? Oh, I'm very sorry. Okay. Well, we've got other folks on the line getting their calls screened, so we will be right back with them. Valerie called earlier just to say this. I'm familiar with Encourage. There is a virtual audio conference for parents, and I wanted to share that information because I had asked you that before, Rylene.
Thank you, Valerie. What would we do without you?
We wouldn't know that. That's for sure. 888-318-7884, the number. Rylene Simpson is our guest. We're talking about same-sex attraction. Maybe you could say a word about, because I know that there are many people listening who go, why do they say same-sex attraction? Why don't they use other words for that? So would you mind saying a word about why we use those words?
Yes. Thanks for that question. That's pretty important. Words are important. And first of all, there's a term that people like a lot, which is gay. But of course, gay has other meanings as well. And there's no real definition about if you say you're gay, what that means. Many of us find that there's a lot of political baggage loaded into the word with the word gay. And a lot of people feel that it's an identity, that you take on an identity when you take on the label gay. And so we think of it in the Catholic Church more as a situation that you're in that you're experiencing something. So that's why we like to say people experience same-sex attraction, so you're experiencing something, but it doesn't make it your identity. We might have feelings, but those feelings do not constitute an identity, because our identity is always in Christ as a daughter, son of God. And so that's our primary identity, the way we like to think about it.
That identity thing is intense nowadays, too. I mean, I think in some ways, people almost want to take on an identifiable identity. I'm not saying this about people who identify as gay, but of any kind, because we're kind of all floating out here and we need something to latch onto that says, this is what gives my life meaning.
Yeah, I think that's true. A label is a handy way to compartmentalize people or to categorize people. And really, should we be doing that? Even I hesitate to say, you know, I'm an accountant or I'm a software engineer or I'm a lawyer or any of the, like, even that seems like you're saying that's your identity. And yeah, maybe, unfortunately, it is, but it doesn't need to be.
I never say any of those things about myself.
I'm a radio host. You ever said that?
No, I don't. Well, yes, I do. Yes, at restaurants, I say that. I'm a radio host. Could I get in first? And in Michigan, it never works, never does a thing for me. And Michigan, listening on 990 AM. Thanks for the call, Ann. Go ahead with your question for Rylene.
Yeah, hey. So my daughter is suffering from same-sex attraction, and she says it's the biggest contribution to her, I don't know, quote-unquote, decision to be gay is her dad is a jerk and not a good role model as a father and husband. So she says she's kind of turned away from men because of that. Is that a thing? Do people just make up their mind to become gay because of something like that?
Oh, wow. Great question, Anne. Thank you for Yeah, thank you for that question. It's a very interesting one. So in the psychological community, back when people were allowed to study these kinds of things, there is many psychologists would make a connection between the parental opposite sex parental relationship or even the same sex parental relationship as a cause, because, you know, I think that they're tendency is always to look at those foundational relationships and see if they were broken in some way, no matter what your problem is, whether it's same sex or not. I will tell you that there is a pattern in the same sex attracted women that I have known, that there is a problem frequently between the father and the daughter, and I'm not going to ask you if your husband is a jerk or if her dad is a jerk, but you can see a pattern of if there's been any kind of like violence towards the child or any kind of abuse towards the child, you can grow a sense of fear or a sense of timidity or a sense of anger towards the opposite sex in those situations and react. Usually I've seen it unconsciously. I haven't seen it somebody making a conscious choice, but certainly in this day and age when we're surrounded by role models, if you want to call them that, role models who are modeling gay behavior and it's acceptable and society, the culture accepts it, then of course you could make a conscious choice.
What do you think? Yeah. Anne?
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Does that make sense to you?
It does. I can see the part where you would have that negative feeling toward males, but I don't understand how it flips the switch to therefore becoming sexually attracted toward females. So I'm getting the first part, but I'm not getting the second part. And maybe it's because I'm of that older culture that doesn't really understand the whole thing. I don't get it. I don't particularly like it. And I don't understand it. So that's where I'm getting. And I do understand the first part that you said, that does make sense. But then switching over to the attraction to females, sexually attracted to females, because you're afraid or dislike males, I'm going to have to work on that.
Well, okay, so I'll give you, I think that's a good clarification too from your understanding of it, because if you are, so we all have a need, we all have a need to make an intimate connection with somebody. And so if you are in a situation where you're rejecting consciously or unconsciously the opposite sex, and you have this need where to bond with somebody and to be very close to somebody and to share intimacy with someone, then you could consciously or unconsciously make a choice to explore that. And frankly, once you start exploring any of those kinds of activities, then that kind of opens you up to be to fall into it more and more. The feelings that you engender in any kind of exploration like that would reinforce a positive reaction towards the same sex in that particular case. I don't want to sound like I'm a psychologist. I have no psychology. I'm just explaining things, by the way, according to my own experience in life. So I don't have any, you know, scientific papers to back up any of this that I'm talking about. But.
Thanks, Anne. I'm going to leave it there because we'll try to get to everybody before we have to close the show. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Dennis all the way down in Australia watching on YouTube. Hi, Dennis. Good morning.
Hello, Soy. I'm sorry, so who's the lady? Who's
Rylene Simpson is our guest. Rylene.
Oh, Rylene. Hello, Rylene. Nice to listen to you, and good to talk to you, Si. I've listened to Catholic Answers a lot over the years on YouTube, and this is my first occasion to call in.
Oh,
I was quite surprised I got through, actually.
Well, we're We got a straight line to Australia. Any Australians called? Anybody from the Philippines calls? We love people that are in the next day already. If people call from the next day,
right.
Like you're calling from Tuesday morning.
It's Tuesday.
Yeah, then you get right
in. Yeah, it's Tuesday. It's 10 minutes to 11 here Tuesday morning. So you're still Monday.
That's right. We're still Monday. Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen. You know, but I don't. Dennis, I'm sorry. Just looking at the clock, and you better ask Rylene your question.
Okay, I'll make it. Rylene, I'll try and make the question quick. My brother, he's in what he describes as a polyamorous relationship. He's married to his wife, but he's also in a relationship with a man, and he was very Catholic at one stage, but then he's very anti-Catholic, and he won't talk to me at all. I'm just really, I suppose my question is, how can I deal with this myself, and how can I help or talk about the Catholic faith to someone with this point of view, with this polyamory? To me, it's all very confusing. I don't understand any of it.
Yeah, thank you for that question. It is very confusing, and this idea of polyamory is fairly new. It's out in the open now, maybe at least more than it used to be. But so you're having trouble dealing with it because it does go against the, what we would say is the natural state of things, and we would want a man-woman relationship to be exclusive. That's what we deal with. I think that there's probably nothing that you can say to your brother that is going to help him change his mind. You said he was faithful before, very faithful or devout, and so he probably understands the church's teachings, God's plan for human sexuality. I think what you need to do is pray for him, and get your whole family to pray for him. Pray for him frequently, constantly, because there's probably only one person who can change his mind, and that's the Holy Spirit can get in there and help him. And I have less experience with the polyamory, so I will tell you that this isn't from personal experience, but from what I've read, it's very damaging to all of the relationships. Once it continues for any length of time, he's going to, there's going to be damage to him and his relationship with his wife and other things. But sometimes we just have to let people make their mistakes and learn from them that way, because some of us, I know, for me personally, I don't learn from anybody's mistakes but my own. And I get out there and make a lot of them, so.
I suppose the only way I can rationalize it myself is that if he's following his conscience to the best of his ability, well, then God won't condemn him. And there's always purgatory where the light of truth is shone on the whole situation. And I suppose he'll have that opportunity in purgatory. But I hope and pray that there's some change in his life before then. But I doubt that'll happen. But then, well, nothing's impossible for God.
You know, no. We have a wonderful saint, Saint Augustine. Nobody would have thought that he would end up Catholic and a bishop and a father of the church and all of that stuff. So there's hope for everybody, every one of us. So don't give up hope. Keep the faith. Keep praying.
Was it Saint Monica? Was Saint Monica his mother?
Saint Monica.
His mom. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And her prayers helped him. It's right. Where there's faith and God, anything's possible.
Indeed it is. As a matter of fact, it's more than possible. I mean, God is always willing to reach out in love and transform lives. I'm certainly evidence of that. And you might not believe, you'd be shocked at this, but I used to be a jerk. Mm. And Rylene, I imagine God has... brought some
transformation.
Right. I really was a jerk to
them. We will pray for your brother and your situation.
Yes, and God bless you, Dennis. Thanks so much for the call. Appreciate that very much. I don't know if we left anybody. No, I think we did. We got to everybody. So nice job, Rylene.
Oh, thank you. It was a lot of fun, Si.
Yeah, God bless you in your work with Encourage and with Courage. And again, if people want to see Rylene's story, you can check out Desire of the Everlasting Hills. It's a wonderful movie. We'll see you again soon, I hope, Rylene.
All right. Take care. Enjoy your pie.
No, I don't get any pie for Pie Day because it's Lent. So maybe I'll just meditate on the number 3.14. All right. We'll see you tomorrow for 2 hours of open forum, God willing, right here, Catholic Answers Live.